Hi, this is Ray Hager standing in for Sam Schad on Nevada Newsmakers, and today's guest is James DeHaven, political writer covering state and national issues for the Reno Gazette Journal. That's coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Schad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Schad.
And welcome to a new edition of Nevada Newsmakers. Today's guest is James DeHaven. He is the fairly new political reporter for the Reno Gazette Journal, covers national politics, and especially the Nevada legislature, a job that I used to have. James, welcome to you, and how long have you been on the job, and can you give me a little bit of your journalistic background?
Hi, thanks for having me. I've been on the job since November 20th. My background is I went to the University of Nevada, Reno. I worked for the Nevada Sagebrush as a sports editor, and I worked at a very small, like, biweekly paper in rural California outside of Stockton. From there, I went to the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Until Sheldon Adelson bought it, I was part of the team that helped reveal that he had purchased the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Yes, thank you. I had sort of a hasty exit as a consequence of that purchase. I went up to Montana, covered the state legislature there for about 9-10 months. Went down to the San Diego Union Tribune for about a year. Worked on the investigative team, and now I'm here.
Well, we're glad to have you. You know, you mentioned you worked at the Review-Journal. I was, just as a former journalist, what was it like when Mr. Adelson took over the paper? Was there a big change in the editorial content or just the way of doing things?
There has been since I left, and roughly 24 people left around that time, people that I had worked with, because he bought the newspaper in secret and because there were fears about the editorial content changing and the direction that things were going. A lot of those fears have come to pass. So it's a different newspaper than the one I worked at. And some people would say it's better. Some people would say it's worse. It's definitely different.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to ask you a few questions about some stories that you've written. And one thing that I wanted to ask you about is Dale Ellison just took over recently as the acting U.S. attorney in Nevada. She took over on January 5th, a day after the Trump administration issued a memo that freed up U.S. prosecutors to enforce federal laws against marijuana, even in states that have legalized use of the plant. Now, of course, Nevada's U.S. attorney, Ms. Ellison, has been silent on the marijuana issue. What do you think about, should Nevada's legal marijuana investors and legal marijuana users be worried at all that maybe this is the beginning of the end of the legal marijuana in Nevada?
I think they should be worried, but maybe not fly into a full-blown panic, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
We don't have any evidence either way when it comes to Ms. Ellison as to whether she's going to be, you know, be interested in a full-blown crackdown on marijuana or whether she's going to leave it to the state. Whether she views it as a state's rights issue or not. So it would be hard to justify a really hard panic or feeling really good about her appointment either way, because she just simply hasn't said anything. So I wish I had better advice to impart to the marijuana license holders, but it's just wait and see mode right now.
Well, of course, you interviewed Mark Amadei, Reno's congressman for the CD2, and he said that it's not a time to panic or something to that effect.
Right. Mark, without offering a lot of specifics, said that he wasn't super worried. He said he didn't see new drug task forces springing up. He didn't see any evidence that there was a scramble on the federal level or at the U.S. attorney level to, rush out and start knocking down doors and, arresting people, which is good. I mean, that's good news if you're a pot shop owner. But again, he didn't offer a lot of specifics. And I think there is good cause to be a little bit more wary if you're in that position, and definitely be talking to your attorney, be looking at what your options are if for some reason you do get raided. Yeah, because it could happen.
Yeah, very well could. Another raid that I wanted to talk about, or potential raid, is that the Trump administration has a plan to end temporary legal immigration status for over 200,000 Salvadorians now living in the U.S. You wrote about Northern Nevada's labor and religious leaders joining progressive political organizers and immigrants to decry the plan at a press conference. How worried are these organizers and immigrants about Trump's actions?
They're very worried. The guy from the Laborers Union, Local 169, I believe it is, said that something like 80% of his membership could be affected by this and other Trump administration immigration moves. So while there's only roughly 1,000 Northern Nevadans that fall under the Salvadorian TPS rollback, I think the broader spectrum of immigration fears have caused a lot of, well-founded anxiety about whether these people are going to have to go home, what their work status is going to be. Can their families stay? Do their families have to go? It's really touchy for them right now, and understandably so.
Well, just along the same vein, James, is the DACA recipients. And, now there's, Donald Trump, our president, just said a couple of days ago that he thinks the DACA deal is dead. What have you heard? Have you talked to anybody about the potential for a DACA deal?
I know Amadei is on it. I know that Congressman Amadei is very interested in trying to push through a DACA deal. I haven't heard anything in opposition to that from Senator Heller. I think as far as the Nevada delegation, and I can really only speak to that, there's interest in getting a deal done, but I don't know. There's broader politics at play for the rest of the country, obviously. It's hard to tell.
The criticism that Trump has taken recently over his remark, his blank hole description of African nations and Haitians. Do you think this is kind of broke off negotiations for DACA? Trump said as much in a tweet last week. How do you feel about the whole S-hole kind of controversy impacting DACA?
I think it's a tremendous distraction, but I think it's only going to have an impact insofar as Congress lets it have an impact. It's really it's on their plate, right? It's within their purview to change it. And if they're taking their signals from the White House in terms of whether or not they should change it, well, then they're subject to distractions anytime he gets up and tweets in the morning.
Yes, yes. You mentioned Senator Heller, and I was wondering if you've been able to speak with him on the record so far since you've been here in November.
That's a good question. I have not. I have attempted to, but no, I've not spoken with him in person on the record, no.
Okay. Before we take a break, I want to ask you one other question. How do you see Heller versus Danny Tarkanian, the GOP race for state Senate, playing out? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's going to be really close. I think it is going to be a dogfight to the very end, unless Danny slips up really bad. I think even, the vice president, quote unquote, embracing Heller the other day doesn't do him a lot of favors, because Danny still has Heller's healthcare flip-flops hanging over his head, and he continues to use them, and it continues to be something that evidently, plays to the base and really excites them. I think it's very – Danny might win. He might just win that primary. You know, he has a bad record in general elections, but he's won something like 4 out of 5 primaries
right,
he's ever
right.
won. So don't put it past him to take down a Dean Heller in a primary.
Well, I wanted to ask you more about that race, but let's take a break right now. We'll be right back with James DeHaven, the political national and statewide political reporter for the Reno Gazette Journal.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have 279-inch high-def TVs, 1265-inch high-def TVs, including 2-party booths for your own private party, and 6 high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Ray Hager, and our guest today is James DeHaven. He is the national and statewide political reporter for the Reno Gazette Journal. We were talking about the Heller-Tarkanian race for U.S. Senate. You know, I see a way, a path for Danny Tarkanian to win the GOP primary by aligning himself with President Trump. But I also see that as perhaps a problem if he wins the primary and gets in the general election, especially with the voter registration in Nevada being in favor of Democrats. James, how do you see this?
I agree completely, but I would also note that the same logic applies to Heller. Essentially, you know, Tarkanian is running to the right of Heller, but Heller also sees alliances with Trump and appealing to the Trump base as his route to getting through the primary. So they're both going to have to make that pivot, whichever one wins, right? That's going to be difficult for them, and it's going to be something that Jackie Rosen looks to exploit on the Democratic side. And perhaps she'll be able to. I think that the voter registration issue is something that both Tarkanian and Heller, whoever wins, is going to have to face. It's going to be an uphill climb.
Well, you're right on that. But on the other side, which Jackie Rosen, she's really inexperienced in a mm-hmm. way to as a U.S. Senate candidate with only 2 years under her belt as a you know, House of Representatives rep for CD 3.
Yeah.
But what do you think about her lack of experience?
I asked Jackie about that the other day. I ran into her at an event she was having here in downtown in Reno. And I said, well, number one, when you come up here, does anyone know who you are? Right. Because you're from CD3 down south. And she says, someone just the other day stopped me at GSR and said, you know, I'm a big fan. Jackie Rosen, we love you. Congresswoman Rosen. So I think that bodes well for her that she's being stopped at casinos up here. You know, it helps to know that she has some name recognition if you're part of her campaign. But, she's a good candidate. I think the experience thing is something that is going to be used against her, right? But she's been there at least one session, and she's sponsored a couple bills. I don't know that it's going to hurt her all that much, quite frankly. I don't think that it's something that... when you're in a potential blue wave year, as you hear people talking about, it shouldn't be really an issue at all if it is a blue wave year. If it isn't, then, you know, she tried and she was probably the best that the Democrats had to offer.
Well, you know, I see her a lot like Shelley Berkley. Of course, Shelley Berkley ran for Senate against Dean Heller in the last U.S. Senate election cycle. And she did pretty good up here, although Heller took Washoe County. She took a lot of votes from that, where Heller really swept her was in rural Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that happening again with the Heller-Tarkanian winner against Jackie Rosen?
I think, well, Jackie told me herself, Congresswoman Rosen, said that she sees Congressional District 3 down south as her path to victory. She said she saw Washoe Valley as important, and obviously she wants to peel off as many votes here as she can, but I'm not sure that it's going to be key, and I don't think that she sees it as absolutely key to her chances, which is interesting.
Okay, you know, on the Democratic side, we have a real hotly contested primary in the gubernatorial race, of course, with Steve Sisolak and with Chris Giunculiani. Both are right now members of the Clark County Commission, which is probably the most powerful elected body in our state, even more than the state Senate. How do you see that? Do you think Sisolak's money is enough to win a primary when many times a primary attracts, you know, very maybe left-wing kind of voters, just as it does on the GOP side attract the right-wing voters?
You know, I don't. I think if I had to put my money somewhere today, I'd put it on Chris G. Just for that reason, that primaries tend to attract more radically partisan voters. And she is to the left of Steve. He's more of an establishment Democratic candidate. She appeals to the to a primary voter on the Democratic side. Sisolak is known for running good campaigns and not shooting himself in the foot. But, you know, it was interesting that he got the endorsement of the Clark County Educators Association, I believe, the other day.
Yes, and because Chris Giunculiani is a former teacher.
Correct.
And former head of the teachers union.
But there's other teachers unions in the state, and I don't think that endorsement is going to be the final word on which way the teachers are leaning. That's an important constituency, obviously. But still, Chris G., everyone I've talked to likes her chances a lot in this primary.
You're correct about the teachers unions, because in case our listeners don't know, every county in Nevada has a teachers union.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's a state teachers union, the Nevada State Education Association. James, let's take another break right here, and we'll be back. I want to talk to you a little bit more about maybe some other congressional races.
Sure.
We'll be right back with James Haven, the political reporter for the Reno Gazette-Journal.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Ray Hager, and today's guest is James DeHaven. He is the fairly new political writer for the Reno Gazette-Journal. He covers national and statewide politics. I want to get back to this gubernatorial race. I see a lot of parallels with this race going back to the 2006 race when Dina Titus, who was more the liberal candidate, defeated Henderson Mayor Jim Gibson for the Democratic nomination. And what happened to Dina Titus really is she ran out of money at the end of the race. And I'm just wondering if this would be a repeat of that, because, of course, Sisolak has more money than Giunculiani does right now, and it could be a factor late in the game in the fourth quarter as you're trying to punch the ball over the goal line. James, what are your thoughts on that?
You raise a good point. When establishment candidates survive a primary where they're getting primaried by someone running to their left or hard to their right, it's usually because the money players in the politics game view them as a more electable candidate, and they just simply won't let them lose. If that turns out to be the case with Sisolak, then he'll be fine. But I think there's a lot of open questions. I think a lot of people are sitting on the sidelines with their money. I know that Sisolak has got some, he's got plenty, but June Kiliani raised $1 million herself, I believe, as of the last reporting period,
right,
which is, you know, nothing to sneeze at. So I think that there's not enough evidence out there right now to suggest that Sisolak can just be, can buy his way through this thing, and that, you know, the moneyed interests are going to carry him through to the finish line.
Okay, the Raiders stadium, Sisolak was for it, a big proponent of using, Clark County tax money up to $750 million mm-hmm. to help fund the stadium. June Kiliani was against it. Do you think the Raiders stadium will be an issue in the general election, or in the primary?
Well, I think it's an issue insofar as when Chris made that vote, she did so knowing that she was going to lose the labor unions down there, right? The labor unions wanted that stadium built. Sisolak took his vote knowing that he'd pick up that constituency. So, whatever political calculations were made back then still apply. Chris G apparently feels that she can survive that stadium vote having opposed it without those unions. Sisolak feels that it was appropriate to pick those up, and he'll tell you that he feels that it's good for the state. But he'll also tell you that, you know, Tesla was maybe not the best giveaway of taxpayer dollars. So it begs the question of where he draws the line in terms of what economic development means and how you should go about it when you support a thing like Tesla, or when you oppose a thing like Tesla, but you support something like the Raiders Stadium.
Okay, I want to give you a theory that I have, and tell me if I'm off base or not, is that June Kiliani is, her term on the Clark County Commission is done.
Mm-hmm.
Sisolak, if he loses the gubernatorial race, he remains on the Clark County Commission. And therefore, I think he's got more leverage with people in getting donations and his support, because they know if he doesn't win the gubernatorial race, they're still going to have to deal with him on the Clark County Commission on various levels. Your thoughts on that?
I think that's a very good point, but I think anyone who's making a donation on that basis should also observe that I don't think Chris G has any plans of going away, right? You heard rumors up until very recently that she was going to jump into CD4, into the race for Congressman Kuhn's seat, the embattled congressman who won't be running for re-election. So I don't think she's going anywhere. I think she's going to remain on the scene at a state level at least for some time to come.
Okay, one last question here. Do you think that the Democrats will hold their majorities in both the state Senate and the Assembly in the upcoming, it would be 2019 legislature?
I believe they will. I don't see a lot of evidence that these recall things are going to go through. And obviously they were harmed by the appointment the other day of Becky Harris as Gaming Control Board chairman, I believe. So that's another Republican seat lost to them. It's a big hit for Senator Mike Roberson's efforts to retain what he has in that chamber. So it'll be tough.
Okay, James, thank you for coming in today. I really enjoyed our conversation. We'll be right back to wrap up this version of Nevada Newsmakers after these few messages.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
One of the best ways to get Nevada Newsmakers is via podcast. You can get it from iTunes or Stitcher. Just search for Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next show.